Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name. And Lord, we just thank you for your word, which is so important and so wonderful to us. Thank you for another study this morning, which I think is applicable for all of us. And may your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll just read off some names to you as people are coming in. Maybe they're coming in. Here's Mary. See how many of these names you recognize, which I recognize very few of them, and I'll tell you why. There are 10 names here, and they're in an order. You might pick it up as we read through it. Xi Jinping, Narendra Modi, Donald Trump, Joko Widodo, Jair Bolsonaro, Arif Alvi, Muhammadu Buhari, Hasina Wazid, Vladimir Putin, Lopez Obrador. Those are the leaders of the 10 most populous nations in the world, in order. Of course, China's first, India's second, according to this list, U.S. is third, then comes Indonesia, then Brazil, then Pakistan, then Nigeria, then Bangladesh, and then Russia, and then Mexico. So those are the, if you want to pray for kings and those in authority, pray for those. And I left the other names on there from last week, Benjamin Netanyahu and Angela Merkel, Germany, and Theresa May, UK, Kim Jong-un, North Korea. We're commanded to pray for them, and you know, to pray that they would be saved, right? Pray they'll be saved. Because how do you get rid of enemies? Make them friends. And only the Lord can do that, but we can pray. Well, if you would please turn back again to Ezra. We're just finishing up this two chapters here that where Ezra is going to lead the second contingency back at the end of the Babylonian captivity back to Jerusalem. And last week we had that beautiful account where here this slave, really, this servant, a Hebrew servant in Babylon, goes to the strongest man in the world, Artaxerxes, and makes this request. We're not told what the request is, but we know because of what the king granted, we know what his request was. And remember, the hand of the Lord was on Ezra three times we had in last week's study in chapter 7. And then King Artaxerxes gave him this great letter and also gave him tons and tons of gold and silver. He said, I issue a decree that all those people of Israel and the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. So we have now in chapter 8 where we are today a continuation of filling in a little bit on the details in chapter 7 and just a great application for us for a leader. This is a leader, but we're all leaders in a sense, at least of our own lives. What do we do in terms of great adversity? Great adversity. We've got a green light from the Lord to go. We've got a green light from the most powerful king in the world. But now we need to take action ourselves, right? So we read here, in preparation for this trip back to Jerusalem, in verse 15 of chapter 8, Ezra gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. And I looked among the people and the priests and found a whole lot of them, right? Found none. There wasn't one priest or one Levite that volunteered to go back. Now that just is amazing to me because they would have known the temple has been built. The worship has kind of stopped there. The sacrifices had been working. And they haven't had a temple for 70 years. And you're in the temple business, right? And so here you got a temple in Jerusalem, but you know it's 900 miles and it's 4 months on a donkey or walking. Maybe they had enough donkeys, maybe they didn't. And I'm pretty comfortable here. Well, if you look around in most of our churches, there's always some excuse. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too wet, it's too dry, it's too long a drive, traffic is too bad, or whatever, you know, whatever the excuse is. And you know, we're all like that, aren't we? We got a problem here now. We're all ready to go. And Ezra, in his exuberance to praise God, We read now down in verse 22 that he was ashamed to request for the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help against the enemies on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, "The hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him." So now he's been given, as I mentioned last week, 25 tons plus of silver and 3.5 to 4 tons of gold to take 900 miles by donkey. And I looked up, I may have told you this before, I got a very close relationship with Mr. Google, and he gives me answers for everything. And I don't know if any of them are right, but he gives me answers. But the average weight that a pack horse can carry for a longer distance is 200 pounds. So if you have 56,000 pounds of gold and silver, it's going to take you 280 donkeys just to carry that. Now, you're going to have a caravan out there with 280 donkeys plus another 3,000 to 5,000 people with it. You think that's a target for the... I don't know how many of you have ever watched the Western movies, but, you know, the plot usually is the stage is coming with a big, big load of gold and we're going to rob it, right? And here they are. Now, Nehemiah, in the next, a little later on, Nehemiah will ask the king for escort and so forth. So this isn't necessarily the way you're supposed to do it, I don't believe. This is the way Ezra was led to do it. But God is faithful in each case, right? Because God will be faithful, so faithful in this account. And so what do we do now when you show up for the outreach, and it's a totally evangelistic outreach, and you look around for all the volunteers who show up, and you don't have one single evangelist? That's not exactly what's happening here, but it's kind of close, because the priests and the Levites need to be in charge of the holy things, and nobody's there. So what does he do? Well, he calls 10 guys he knows, all Levites, Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, there's Elnathan in here 3 times, Yarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, and Meshullam, and then a couple of leaders as well, and gets the word out, hey, we need Levites and priests to go back to Jerusalem. Nethinim too. The Nethinim probably were the Gibeonites, and under David's time, and for then they went into Solomon's temple, they were doing a lot of the work in the temple. So he said, get Nethinites too. We need work in the temple as well. And so they raised 220 Nethinites and then about another 38 Levites and priests. Still not very many, but at least that's 250 that they didn't have. So that's the first thing. He gets the call out. He doesn't just sit around and say, well, Lord, I can't go because I don't have any priests and Levites. He gets action. Second thing he does, he proclaims a fast there at the river. Why? Well, it's a very good reason for fasting here, that we might humble ourselves. Seems like pride always has a way of showing up in every lesson, doesn't it? Every study. How do you really approach the Lord when you got pride blocking you? You don't do it very well. So a fast here, it says that we might humble ourselves before our God. Got a big problem? Humble yourself before God. Resist that thing. Oh, I know how to do this. I've done this before. I don't need you this time, Lord. No, that's not a good way to do it. They humble themselves before Lord what? To seek from him, to pray. To seek from him what? The right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So he then goes to fasting and prayer, which is the thing that we need to do as well. And then, as we read in verse 22 there, as I'd already meant, he had already promised the king that we don't need any escorts because our God will take care of us. And now he's got 28 tons of gold and silver, and all of a sudden, ooh, I wish I'd asked for help, right? Have you ever been that? You're really bragging on your faith and bragging on the Lord, and then you get into this situation, and oops, I need help. Oh, I thought you were trusting in the Lord. Well, yeah, but, anyway. We've been there, haven't we? Done that. Now we read in verse 23, so we fasted and entreated our God for this. Fasted and prayed, and what happened? God was unfaithful, right? Never unfaithful. And He answered our prayer. Isn't that glorious?
Yes.
Isn't that glorious? And so now we have some more detail there in the rest of the chapter. And He had given 12 guys, the priests and the Levites, supervision over the valuables. You know, when I used to read that, I used to think, you know, they had Levi jeans with big pockets, right? And they're going to put the gold in their pockets, and they're going to watch over it, right? Well, when you think about 28 tons, I don't think these guys could carry that, but they had responsibility over it. So 12 guys divided into all of this wealth. And then we see this beautiful accountability as soon as they get there, which took them 3.5 to 4 months, 900 miles, averaging around 7 or 8 miles a day with all these people and with all this stuff. And they get there. And the first thing they do, they take 3 days of rest, apparently. But on the fourth day, they weighed all the silver and all the gold, and not one item was missing. Great accountability, though, right? So for those of you in ministry who have any access to funds and all, make sure you got great accountability. And if you've got other people involved, make sure there's great accountability. Because can you imagine sitting on, or walking, whatever you're doing, 900 miles and thinking of all that gold we're carrying, you know? You know, I could slip in there at night and fill my pockets, and you'd never miss it. I mean, there's 28 tons there. How are you going to miss, you know, I don't need but half a pound, right? I mean, that would, no, hands off. That is the Lord's. It's precious. It's holy. He actually says that here in verse 28. He says, "You are holy, the priests and the Levites. The articles are holy also, and the silver and the gold are a freewill offering to the Lord our God." They're not to us, it's to the Lord our God. And then he says what? "Watch and keep them until you weigh them before the leaders of the priests and the Levites and the heads of the fathers' houses in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the chambers of the house of the Lord." So he gave them those explicit instructions, and they did that right away. Now we'll see in a little later on here the tragedy that had happened between the time when Zerubbabel and Joshua went back and built the temple. And remember, we said there was about 58 years between chapters 6 and 7. And now the people have turned away from the Lord. They've intermarried, and it's just a mess. And I just think about, can you imagine the shock that you would have been if you were Ezra, seeing the hand of the Lord miraculously providing all of everything and getting us here. And then we get here, and our Jewish brothers are all into idolatry and into intermarriage and all this stuff. And you go, what's going on? You know? So he'll clean it up. And you think, ah, great. Got it all cleaned up. And then about 12 to 18 years goes by until Nehemiah comes back. And it's the same thing over again. They're all messed up again. So Nehemiah has a great work there. But then those things don't last, do they? The heart is so wicked. And it helps when we have good leaders because it keeps us from dropping way down. But the good leader can do everything right and the people still aren't where they need to be. We aren't where we need to be without him either, are we? So we read then, they delivered the king's orders. He also had these orders to the king's satraps and governors in the region beyond the river. So they gave support to the people and to the house of God. So what do we have in today's study? Well, we have a good action plan when you're in difficulties. You need to be, we see the hand of our God was upon us in verse 31. And the hand of our God was upon us, and he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road. He is faithful, right? God is faithful. His word is true. So we need to be in his word, and we need to be trusting him, and we need to take care of our pride by humbling ourselves before him, and we need to pray. So I was thinking this morning as I was just looking over these notes in a way, how fortunate we are to come here and get encouragement on how to live. We ought to never have any trouble with our faith. But then on the other hand, we're over here praying, and we're kind of a target for Satan, aren't we? Or a target, I don't know about Satan, but the workers of iniquity. So, but we keep needing to go back and be reminded, don't we? Because we have pretty much the same application every week, don't we? Trust in the Lord. Be true to His Word. humble yourself and pray, right? That's it. I mean, it is more complicated. You don't have to have four PhDs to figure that out, do you? I don't think so. Well, here we are to pray this morning, so let us pray, and as the Lord would lead us through His Spirit. Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness here again shown and protecting against such great odds of difficulties at all that way, 4 months without security other than You, Lord, and You are it. So, Lord, help us to, into our lives, as we look at difficulties we have and we cry out, oh, woe is me, I don't know what to do. Yes, we know what to do. We need to turn to You and say, Lord, I want to do whatever You would have for me to do, and help me to be content in that and not to take it back and say, Lord, You're not moving fast enough. I'm going to have to speed this up a little bit, because that's not going to work, Lord. Give us faith to trust You. Now lead us in this time of prayer this morning, Lord, that we would honor You with our hearts and with our lips as we would intercede for what You would put in our hearts to pray for. We ask in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we know that all things are of You and from You and by You, Lord, and we just thank You for loving us. We thank You for saving us. Guide each one today, Lord, and may we just seek You. Help us with our pride. Help us to be thankful, Lord. I didn't even mention that when the children of Israel there got to Jerusalem on that fourth day, they offered all the sacrifices for all the whole nation, 12 bulls and so forth on down the list, Lord, and thanking You and praising You, and even 10, I think, goats for the sin offering as well. And so, Father, help us to be thankful and grateful for what You've done for us, and help our lives to be the gospel today to wherever we are. You are the light and the salt. You have told us. May we be that with Your help. In Jesus' name, amen.